Schlemiel Crooks by Anna Olswanger. Illustrated by Paula Goodman Kaas. Published by Junebug Books, an imprint of New South Books.
In the middle of the night on a Thursday, two crooks, onions should grow in their navels, drove their horse and wagon to the saloon of Reb Elias Olswanger at the corner of 14th and Carr Streets in St. Louis. This didn't happen yesterday. It was 1919. Reb Elias, you should know, didn't have a sit-down kind of saloon with men coming in to guzzle whiskey. Oh, no. Reb Elias had the kind of saloon with housewives, grandmas even, coming in to buy bottles of wine and brandy, unopened, of course, and strictly kosher for the Jewish Sabbath. He was the only one in St. Louis selling kosher wines back then. Listen, he also sold kosher cognac, that's a kind of brandy, and mead, which is made out of honey and goes down easy. For the children, he kept in the back a barrel of pretzels with lots of thick salt on them. Meanwhile, the two crooks, potatoes should sprout in their ears, were stealing crates of Passover wine shipped special that year to Reb Elias on a boat from the land of Israel. Reb Elias paid a little more. Okay, he paid a lot more for that wine. Usually, he was buying his Passover stock from the Manischewitz family in Cincinnati. But after Mr. Balfour, Lord Balfour, a big politician in England, promised to make a home for the Jews in the land of Israel, Reb Elias thought maybe they could use the extra business over there. The Jews swatting mosquitoes overseas shouldn't have only watery soup and a little goat's milk to drink. So you don't worry he got his brains knocked out by those lousy crooks. I'll tell you that Reb Elias was sitting at a table in the synagogue three blocks down on 11th Street. He was keeping company with Perlmutter the tailor, Birnbaum the watchmaker, six dry goods men, and one ragman. This ragman, I'm pleased to say, later opened up a candy store and stayed put. Reb Elias happened to be the leader of the Talmud Society at the synagogue. Every night he was sitting up late in the study room and sipping hot tea over a page of Talmud. He liked his tea plain, no sugar. That particular night, he was leading a discussion. Okay, maybe it was more like an argument about the first Passover when the Israelites got the boot out of Egypt. Reb Elias was saying in a nice Yiddish that when the Israelites waved goodbye to Pharaoh in the middle of the Red Sea, they weren't exactly standing there empty-handed. They had managed to take a little something in the way of jewelry and clothing from the Egyptians. So over the years, certain people, Reb Elias wasn't mentioning names, kept trying to give the Jews a reputation for being swindlers. By the way, you don't have to thank me, but what I'm giving you here is my personal translation from Reb Elias's Yiddish. And who do you think was worried sick about the Egyptians' reputation? Reb Elias asked Perlmutter, Birnbaum, the six dry goods men, and the ragman. I'll tell you, the Israelites. You take a look in the Talmud, you'll see that after a couple hundred years of slave labor, they went asking the Egyptians for a little back pay. In this case, jewelry and clothes. That way, nobody should go around calling the Egyptians slave drivers when it was Pharaoh they should be giving the bad name to. Having set the record straight, the Jews were never swindlers, Reb Elias was taking a snooze. Listen, he wasn't exactly a spring chicken. In fact, he was an old man already, past 70. So, at 11 o'clock at night, he wouldn't have minded being at home in his bed above Resnick's grocery, a nice feather blanket up to his beard, and Mrs. Olswanger snoring in her bed next to his. Perlmutter, the tailor, leaned across the table.
You are listening, Birnbaum? He asked. You heard Reb Elias say that when the Jews told Pharaoh goodbye, nice knowing you, God let them take a little back pay from the Egyptians? Well, Birnbaum, what do you think the Jews were wandering around in for 40 years? I'll tell you. They were wandering around in nice linen skirts with pleats, very stylish, because they got their back pay in garments. Garments, fui, sputtered Birnbaum, the watchmaker. You were in the other world, maybe, when Reb Elias told how the Jews got their back pay in jewelry? So for your information, they were wandering around in necklaces and bracelets decorated with diamonds like you see on the face of a lady's nice wristwatch. Reb Elias, meanwhile, was busy sleeping like a log. He wasn't interrupting Perlmutter and Birnbaum. They should only have gone on enjoying themselves. I'll let you in on something. Back when the Israelites were telling Pharaoh they'd be seeing him in the funny papers, you think it was only jewelry and clothing they were loading into saddlebags on camels? You think they weren't packing in a little something to eat on the way? The unleavened bread you probably heard about already, but according to my sources, which I'm keeping confidential, so don't even ask, plenty of dried grapes, okay, raisins, were going into those saddlebags from Pharaoh's own vineyards. How were the Israelites supposed to know they'd end up eating manna from heaven and dragging those raisins around the desert for 40 years? And where do you think the grapes came from that got squashed into the wine shipped to Reb Elias from the land of Israel in 1919? I'll tell you, they came from seeds stuck inside those raisins that got schlepped across the desert. So, you think grape seeds couldn't last all that time? 3,600 years, to be exact? What are you, an authority on grapes? Listen, you keep anything dry, it'll last. Ask a pharaoh who's been mummified. Speaking of which, in case you haven't been reading the book of Exodus in the Bible lately, I'll remind you that the pharaoh who was calling the shots during the first Passover...
We hope you've enjoyed this excerpt from Schlemiel Crooks by Anna Olswanger, and that you'll share the book with a young friend.